My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, my man Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atatula. Are we gaining more insight into why D'Amico is just such a damn good coach?
Mm-hmm.
I say that because just yesterday, I believe, we got the full recording posted on the internet, and I believe YouTube is where I saw it, of the Nightcap podcast with Shannon Sharp and Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco. I think those are the two names that he goes by. I was like, I don't think I'm forgetting any other ones. But yes, the artist formerly known as. But yes, they have a lot of fun with their podcast, and they did a live show. They did kind of a summer series where they were bouncing around different places, and they managed to make it to Houston a few weeks back. And that meant they had quite a few guests. I think Rick Ross was on there. I didn't get to that part of the pod or anything, but they definitely had two people. Andre Johnson, from which we got a particular clip and highlight. Figgy,
hey man, I'm finna beat his ass.
That's right. We got to get that gem, which we've been playing all day. But then also, there's a fantastic sit down with D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of this Texans team. And so within that, there was quite a few things that were interesting. One of the places that we got to is Shannon Sharp was flexing his interviewing muscle. Was talking about, you know, kind of one of those things that we talked about last week, I believe, which is the Tua Tagovailoa, Brian Flores, how we started getting into like the relationship between player and coach, right? And that was used as a jump off point to ask D'Amico Ryans about how you navigate coaching players in different ways, because clearly, like that Brian Flores thing, there was clearly some issues there.
Yeah. I was just talking to one of my coaches about that earlier today. Man, you have to have a relationship with guys. Like, if you don't have a relationship with guys, then you don't know how that guy's going to respond.
Yeah.
Right? Some guys, I could coach hard. Some guys, I know, like, man, I can get it out of him, but I don't need to go as hard with him. I just got to tell him, hey, man, you're doing a great job. Hey, keep it going, young fella. We're going to get there. But if you don't establish that relationship outside of football, like, you just got to sit down, you got to eat with guys, you got to meet with guys, just talk to them one-on-one, like, what's going on outside of football, so you can really get to know that young man and what's going on in his life. Like, that's how you are able to relate to guys and coach. Like, now once you get that relationship, I can coach him up hard,
right,
but everybody, you can't coach hard. Everybody doesn't need hard coaching, but as a coach, it's our job, right? And that's one thing I learned about coaching. I thought, man, when I finished playing, I thought I was going to hop in like, hey, Kyle, I can come coaching linebackers right now.
Right.
But that's what I learned when I was in San Fran. I truly learned, like, man, you got every guy is different. How do you teach every guy? Right. Every guy learns different. Every guy, you got to explain things differently and they pick it up different. So for me, that's where I learned, like, man, you have to be adaptable as a coach. Right. But you got to know these guys outside of football.
That's a clinic right there.
Man and a half.
That's a clinic. I can't even. I want every manager, every boss, every office.
God bless.
I mean, this is not football we're talking about. It's just leadership.
Yes.
like the way
that's life.
It's life. It's parenting. You treat kids, you know, the kids react differently to different, stimulus and stuff like that. And what you say, like, that is like, you almost, we're going to hear more.
Yes.
But you almost know everything you need to know about D'Amico Ryans just with that one comment
itself, what you just laid out, I think is one of the big reasons why D'Amico Ryans is so good as a coach. You can get a feel for his entire philosophy talking with him for a very short moment.
Yeah.
If you can express ideas and philosophies with that level of efficiency, I think you're doing a good job as a leader, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I loved in this particular portion of it is like he immediately took the onus on himself. And this is one of the things we gave Brian Flores credit for in that particular debacle is that at the back end of it, he was like, well, I'm looking at how do I make sure that no other player, you know, feels that way. And I'll take it back to my communication, you know, time learning communications in college, right? Because that's ultimately what I studied, broadcast communications. And there was a, you know, in comm theory, the class, it came down to the idea that there is a communicator, like there's a translator, a person who is sending out the message, and then there's a receiver of the message. The responsibility on the message being delivered and making it to the person who is receiving the message is on the person who is communicating.
100%.
Right? I can't blame, or I mean, to an extent, right? As much as reasonable, right? I can't blame the person who is receiving for not understanding me. It is more incumbent upon me to go, okay, how do I make sure that they get what I'm saying? And I think in that way, in a little bit slightly different way, he's talking about how do I make sure that I have a relationship with this player to the point where, one, I know how to deliver that message, and two, I make sure that they get it.
Where it resonates.
Yes, you
know, like where resonates. How it best resonates 100%. With them. Like if I, and I'll just be honest here, you know, we've all had various types of bosses, and that's what he is. The good bosses, bad bosses, whatever. What you consider a bad boss, maybe I consider a good boss, because it's how you receive what best resonates with you. Like some people, it's like you got to scream, you got to slam the table, or else that's the only way that you get through to them, right? And some, when you start screaming or you start chastising or being critical,
turns off.
It's white noise.
Yeah, we're out of there.
It's white noise. So that right there is a clinic that he just put on.
And he continues to do that as he was on with them for a while, the nightcap. D'Amico Ryans now talking a little bit about his coaching style.
With my coaching style, man, I took a lot from a lot of different coaches that I was around. I think, you know, it all starts from, I spent the most time around Robert Saleh.
Okay.
Right, and in that coaching profession, like I just learned from him, like, man, you got to bring great energy every day, right? And you got to be able to relate to all these guys in the same room. How can you relate to them? Like storytelling, like whatever, keeping it light with jokes. Like it's a fine line, just coaching all the guys, even Wade Phillips, man, he was your head coach. He would come into the meeting room. Wade would just tell a joke to everybody in the room. Then he'd talk to you. He always told a story about you. Like, hey, man, like we had a guy on scout team. I told him, don't worry about covering him. He's better than the guys that are playing.
Right.
Like, so it was always Wade found a way in a playful way to get guys' attention, draw guys in. So I think you draw a man, you get their attention, you relate to the guys, right? Also, with Saban, I know he's hard on guys, but the only way you can be hard on them is you got to love them, too.
Right.
Right? You got to, guys.
Love them just as hard as you coach.
Man, you have to. And guys got to know, for me, I had a strength and conditioning coach. He called me as soon as I got into coaching. He was like, D'Amico, players do not care how much you know until they know how much you care about them, right? And so that was the one thing that's always stuck to me. Like, I tell our guy, man, I care about you as a man, first and foremost. It's football. We gonna get to the football. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to coach you up. But, man, I care about you as a man, being successful after football is over. Like, I want you to be a great husband, great father, great leader in the community, because that's what's going to last.
Yeah, and what have we heard Nick Caserio say about D'Amico Ryans? He's consistent.
Yeah.
Every single day. D'Amico, you get the same version of him. That's kind of along the same lines of what he's talking about there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to love you. I'm going to coach you. We'll get there. But he's consistent with that message, and that's as important as anything.
Absolutely. I think that this is an interesting text that came in from the 713. This may explain why they have a soft spot for Dameon Pierce. And I do wonder if, yeah, that, I mean, as a, if you are coaching him on a human level, mm-hmm. like, I think you can probably understand and appreciate the struggles that he has. And may, does that maybe give you a little bit of an idea of where that might come from? Or,
well,
are we stretching there?
And I don't know if it's a stretch, but I think, like, with, at some point, you do have to be the coach that makes decisions.
Yeah.
You know, or the general manager that makes decisions, no matter how much you love them. There's a lot of guys that are on the street today that I'm sure DeMeco had a great relationship and
sure.
loved.
Yeah.
But they're on the street. So I think with Dameon Pierce, while they are, there's a soft spot for him, I'm sure it's pretty obvious. And hell, you know, we've been somewhat, more than somewhat, critical of Dameon Pierce, and we love him. So I get it. But as much as there's a soft spot, I think ultimately D'Amico's not going to let that sort of tower over the decision that needs to be made.
Sure. More from D'Amico Ryans on Nightcap. I thought this was a little fun. He was asked by Ocho, you know, do coaches have routines and superstitions rather, mm-hmm. going into games?
I think you fall into those kind of superstitions. You kind of fall into them because it's like, oh man, we smoked them this week. Like, man, we got whatever I did, whatever I ate last week, right. whatever I listened to on the way to the state, like yep, right. run it all back. Right. right. But I don't believe in that. That's the reason why. Right. I think you just get into a habit, but I don't believe in the superstitions and, you know, but sometimes you get off. It's routine. Mm-hmm. Right. It's a routine. A lot of coaches fall into, whether it's working out before the game, running stadiums or hitting the treadmill. Right. Certain things for me. My deal is I'm watching film up until the last minute before I have to go out. It's like, wow. I'm trying to find another advantage. Like, I'm looking at third down again. I'm looking at 2 minute for as long as I can. They come knock, hey, coach, we got to go. It's like, I'm trying to get that edge up until the last minute.
Right. Well, that's the work ethic part there.
Up until the last minute, man.
Like, they're knocking on the door. And that's the work ethic part there. But the funny thing to me is, he called it a routine. Dude, you're just saying superstition a different way. everybody has that little something. We all do. And I don't consider myself real superstitious. But there are things that occasionally I'm like, all right, I got to do this. I'm going to start calling it a routine, too. Because even though it is a superstition, it's a superstition.
I think the place where it goes from routine to superstition is if you feel like it has a huge effect on what happens. And if you feel like any deviation and variation ends up being an issue, right? Routine is just this is the normal steps and processes that I'm used to making.
Yeah.
And I think also the reason, and maybe this is again a stretch, let me know. Just again, at any point if you're like, yo, Reggie, you're reaching, it's cool. 713-572-4610 is the text line, also YouTube and Twitch. But I think that it speaks to something that we've seen over a time period. Nick Caserio has used this word, and they've kind of modeled it out in the way that they go about things.
Mm-hmm.
They're process driven.
Oh, for
right?
sure.
Like they're about, if we do things the right way, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 should equal 4, mm-hmm. right? Like if you do the steps, the outcome is probably as assured as it can be because you went through the steps properly.
That's a Caserio staple,
right?
Yeah,
and I think that same thing is shown in some ways by, yeah, I have a routine on my going into the game. Not necessarily that, oh man, I do this and there's some pixie dust or magic that then leads to wins. But if we prepare the way that we're supposed to, and I'm watching the film and making sure that I have all the right information so that I make the right decisions in the game, we give ourselves the maximum opportunity to win.
You're absolutely right. But if part of that routine gets broken and they lose,
yeah, then we're in superstition.
They're back to it. They're back to it.
So they started out by actually asking D'Amico Ryans about like his expectations of this Texans, and yeah, shout out to the 281. Not superstitious, just a little stitious.
Yeah.
Shout out to the office. But yeah, D'Amico Ryans was asked about his expectation of the Texans this season.
What are your expectations from this team?
There you go. Thanks.
I hear you. No, I still tell our guys our expectations is just to get better every day. Like, I tell them, like, we can't get everybody know when we suit up like you guys have. Like, everybody wants to go win it all, right? That's always the goal. That's why we do what we do, right? We're trying to go get that Lombardi, but we don't get there overnight. So enjoy the process of just getting better every day. And when we look up in February and we're there playing for that Lombardi, that's... what's going to make it really special.
Right.
Home crowd.
There it is. Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
I wonder where he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Home crowd working.
He ain't in Ohio.
I like the way you put that, too. We're going to go get that Lombardi.
That's right. That's right. Not just being in the game. Make sure that you bring that trophy home with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and finally, I guess I'm going to go ahead and play this. We were talking a little bit about, you know, this being the, or yesterday being the 1 year anniversary of CJ Stroud being named the starter.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked about CJ Stroud's just special rookie season.
Yeah, I do understand it all. Like, it all starts with the, like you said, the rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. Everybody now, they expect rookies to come in mm-hmm. and just ball out from right. the start. That doesn't happen.
Right.
Like, especially at the quarterback position, you got to have a special, mm-hmm. special person to do that. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to get CJ at number two. And this kid is special.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, definitely.
You know, he's fun to work with, but, and he didn't start off that way. Like, we started off with a rough season. Like, we had to go through some growing pains, and he learned a lot. Our team learned a lot of how we had to play to win games, and that growth process throughout the season, that made it even more special to know we didn't just come out just beating people. And I told our guys, too, you know, we talk about how special of a season it was. You look up, we had, I think it was 10 games that were in the last minute of the game. Right. We were right in the game, and I think we won 7 right. of those 10 in the last minute of the game. So that just shows the margin for error in this league. It's still tight, even though it's a great season. But, man, I tell our guys, you have to work hard. You got to grind those yeah. wins, and you got to be smart in those situational moments to close games out.
Man. Turned into a pep rally for a little bit there, but his words are they resonate so strongly.
Yes.
They just resonate strongly. It's also just how he says, certain people have that, like, that ability to deliver a message. You talked about it early, succinctly, but also just how he delivers the message.
You know what the word is that I like using here?
What's that?
He has gravitas.
Gravitas.
Ah, yeah. there's a level of ethos when
you
he
got
says
that, Figgy?
Something. Who? Fair enough. Touche. That is fair.
It's cool. I'm learning.
But
I'm
look,
learning.
I mean, look, it's also exemplified by many yeah. of the folks who were listening in, right? 713. Yeah.
Also,
chill
who?
Bumps when it comes to... Okay. All right. All right. I earned that one. I did. Chill bumps on the D'Amico clip. Football season is here. Damn sure is. Someone else mentioned that... where is it? Yeah. 832. God, I wish I could play what D'Amico said to my boss. Not a leader, more of a dictator. Yeah, like the...
Like no kidding. You should. Hey, man, did you hear what D'Amico... You don't have to be like, hey, please be this guy.
Right.
You know, but you could just say, did you hear what D'Amico said?
I mean, yeah. And again, another 832 sounds like a guy I would run through a wall for, right? And that's exactly yeah. When I was listening, I was like, yo.
Yeah.
This is, if you didn't already know, that like some of the things that make D'Amico Ryans an incredible coach, it mm-hmm. seems like there was just a clinic when he sat down
that's
with
the
Shannon
first
Sharp
word that popped into my mind.
And Chad Ochocinco. And I guess that was released yesterday,
mm-hmm.
This clip from with D'Amico Ryans. And just it really gets you ready for football season.
Boy, it
and
does.
It makes me feel better about, we on the show have been pretty optimistic mm-hmm. with some of the ways that we talk about it. And when you're overly optimistic, at least for me, I take a step and I'm like, ooh, am I going too far? Am I drinking the Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
You listen to D'Amico and you're like, yeah, I'd rather err on the side of positivity.
Let's be more optimistic here. Let's be more optimistic. No, it's absolutely a clinic. You should play that clip for your boss or your spouse and say, this is what we need to do more of or whatever. By the way, speaking of superstition, and he called it a routine.
Yes.
But did you see what the Cubs are doing?
No.
I came across this morning and like, this is awesome, but there's no real place, you know, to put it in the show. Well, I'll be damned if Reggie didn't give me a place to put it in the show.
You're welcome, I guess. So, I still don't know where you're going yet. So
the Chicago Cubs, a few weeks ago, they have a Taylor Swift candle. Like those, you know, those candles, those Mexican candles.
Yeah, with a various saint or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah. A Taylor Swift candle that they started lighting. And they have since gone on an absolute tear, the Cubs have. And they light the candle before every game.
Well, good for them.
Craig Council was talking about it. Here it is, lighting a Taylor Swift candle before the game, and they can't stop winning.
Well, that's excellent. Good for them. Look
at that.
Sometimes you just gotta get into that look good, feel good, play good type thing. And
yeah.
if it's just like, hey, we put a candle on and that makes us feel better, gets us ready to go.
Put that Taylor Swift candle on, they've won 9 out of 12.
Hey. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, yeah. And I love a candle myself, so that's a great way to go. Now, the tough thing about it is if you find a superstition that works, but you also don't like it.
You're going to need another candle.
And you're like, here we go with this candle again.
Yeah, exactly.
a segment that I'll never say anything like that about is Figgy's mixtape, which is coming up next. Fig, what we got?
Man, it's an old man Thursday, and my goal by 135 is to make y'all feel super old.
Uh-oh.
Man.
Oh, wow.
All right. I guess stick around for that.
Yeah. I'll see what I can.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Do with that.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Boys, turn that off.
Go, go, Power Rangers.
Dude.
That guitar riff is incredible.
31 years ago yesterday,
31.
Power Rangers, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers premiered.
Dude.
Do y'all feel old? And this is the original. Man, I don't know a kid who didn't like Power Rangers at all, man.
That's right.
I was all about Power Rangers, man. I can still name all the original ones. You had Zach. You had Jason, who was the red Power Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
You had Kimberly, who was the pink one.
That is correct.
Is it Trini? I think Trini.
Yes.
I used to say Trina.
I think it was Trini.
Trini was the yellow one.
I think it was Trini.
And then you had Billy, who was the blue one.
And the red one was from Houston. I believe.
Okay.
I believe one of the our texters will correct me on that, but I believe one of them was from Houston. I think it was the red one. And I said that because I've said that probably 70,000 times. All right, that's enough. Turn it off. Turn it off. That's
man,
enough.
Come on, man. Did you ever buy your kids some of the action figures? I never had the action figures.
They dressed
before,
up as the Power Rangers for Halloween twice.
Yeah, man.
Twice. They just ran it back. They just ran it back, my two boys.
Man, I ain't gonna lie. I tried to, when I seen yesterday was 31 years, I tried to go back and see how it looked, how it aged well.
Mm-hmm.
And this looks so doggone cheesy, man. I don't know why they had...
And the monsters?
Yeah.
And they're all like moving.
And
like
my thing, my biggest issue was why they had the black guy out there trying to dance and break dance and all this stuff, man. They made this man a typical black dude.
Because it was the early 90s.
Try to flex and break dance. I'm like, oh, come on. But yeah, 31 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I still remember my favorite toy when I was probably about 4 or 5. I don't even remember it was a Red Power Ranger, but I don't remember if it was a like action figure or if it was like one of those big candles that took off a cake, and I was just like, this is mine. Like, this is a toy now. And I had this entirely separate motorcycle that I put that, and it just happened to fit, and I would just ride that motorcycle around with the Red Power Ranger, and I was good. I was in a good place.
It's crazy, man.
To be fair, real quick, as corny as it was, you got hooked on that stuff.
No, you did.
Like on the stories.
The stories
were stupid.
Yeah. Well, you said story. The story.
Yeah,
it was the same storyline over and over.
The part that got me was seeing how they pretty much destroyed the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, they just came back to school. Like,
got it again, baby.
So I want to make y'all really feel old now. So I ran across this post from FanDuel. And it had all the father-son connections in college football.
Ooh.
Right now. So I'm going to read off some names, and y'all tell me who the dad is. And if y'all starting to get a little old now.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
A.J. Vinatieri.
Adam?
Oh, Adam's son. What does he play?
He's a kicker.
Okay. Well, he went into the family business.
Like father, like son.
Sign him.
Kennedy Urlacher.
Oh, come on now. Brian?
Oh, yeah. Urlacher. Okay. Yeah. My bad. That's on me.
Yeah. Moose Muhammad III.
Oh, he plays at A&M.
Moose and Muhammad?
Yeah, yep. Moose and Muhammad.
He plays at A&M, yeah.
Yep.
Does he also throw the football a little bit?
I haven't seen him do that, but maybe Saturday.
Yeah, you got to keep that in tow. Hey, that might be helpful for you. Keep you out of that helmet during one of these shows.
That's right.
All right, this one I started really feeling old. Willis McGahee IV.
Oh, wow.
Oof. Okay.
I wonder what his dad's name is.
I was just thinking about Willis because Andre was talking about those teams at Miami.
Yeah.
Boy.
I remember him pretty good, too, being an Ohio State fan, too.
Yeah.
E.J. Warner, a little, local guy.
Yeah.
E.J. Warner. Kurt Warner.
Yeah, Kurt.
Son.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of
them. At Rice. Yep.
Yeah. Because he had his other son. Oh, what was my guy's name? He played at Kansas State not too long ago as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Pennington. This is the one that got me too.
We Chad? Got a Pennington son?
Chad
we got
Pennington.
Chad's son out
Chad
here?
Chad Pennington son. So that one, I was like, oh my God.
All these so far, except for Urlacher, you can kind of see it's about time for them to have a kid in college, you know? But Urlacher, it seems like it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
Right?
Just, I don't know.
Especially
when you seen him out here with the when he started doing cheating with the hair.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And he started cheating. I was like, okay,
yeah.
We know what's happening.
All right, Mason Taylor, and this is Jason Taylor's son.
Okay.
This the one that really hit me in the stomach, man. Antonio Gates Jr.
Okay.
Oh
That one.
Like, dog, he was just playing like a couple years ago, man.
Yeah, that one too.
It does feel.
I remember watching your dad at Kent State.
Yeah.
Hey, I was staying up all night. My mom, speaking of turn that TV off.
Yeah.
My mom was telling me turn that game off. It was 3 a.m. They was playing. I think they was in the Elite Eight or the Sweet. I think they was in the Sweet 16 with Antonio Gates balling.
My brain, I'm always like, man, Antonio Gates doesn't get the flowers that he deserves. Is that just me being one of those fans that's like always talking about someone being underrated even though people love him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he was not underrated.
Okay, good. All right.
Kristen Driver.
We got Donald Driver's kid out here?
Donald Driver's.
He's local too, right? Donald Driver lives in Houston.
Okay. He could be.
Yeah.
Could be. E.J. Smith.
Another Aggie.
Another Aggie.
Aggies are getting the offspring, man.
Well, yeah. They got the price of a barrel is up.
Exactly.
Get people to come down. Now, you got to get your man Mike Elko to get them all pulling in the same direction so they can get
some
wins.
Don't worry about that. It's a done deal, man.
All right.
Christian Harrison. And this one is Rodney Harrison.
Rodney's son.
That one seems fair.
Is he also a menace in the defensive backfield?
I thinks I think he is in the defensive back.
Yeah.
My thing about every time I turn on that NBC broadcast and you see Rodney Harrison out here in a suit, I'm like, I know who you are. That suit doesn't make me think any. I know exactly who you are and the way you kick it. Don't do that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Eden James.
Edgerman James' son.
Edge.
Yep.
Okay.
That one kind of hit.
That made me feel young.
Henry Hasselbeck. This is Matt Hasselbeck.
Of the Hasselbecks?
Is this Tim or Matt's son?
Matt's.
Okay.
Yep. And then we got Owen McCown. One Josh McCown.
The McCown made me feel a little old.
Yeah.
He was coaching him
in high school last year.
Yeah.
That was part of the...
That's the reason why he ain't take this job, I guess.
Well, God, thank you.
Supposedly.
Yeah, that's a good blessing.
Another random one that I ran across, this made me feel, I guess, locally as far as Cleveland, DeJuan Wagner Jr.
High school legend, DeJuan Wagner.
Yep.
I mean,
and he's
legend.
Yeah, 100 points. Legend, or more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I seen DeJuan Wagner Jr., I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those are a couple names that I found that kind of just made me feel old as balls.
Yeah, man. Right. And that's going to be what's happening during this weekend of college football really getting going.
Yeah.
You're going to be sitting there watching like,
oh, that's so-and-so's son?
Damn. I remember when you was little.
Yeah.
Speaking of feeling old, I came across this poll and they said the average person only spends 5.5 minutes on the phone per day in 2024.
Take the under.
Yeah.
How crazy is I remember being on the phone for like 8 hours with a girl back in the day.
Oh, daily.
We had limits.
Yes.
You know, because we had 5 kids in the house and it was like you each get 10 minutes on the phone. And then you'd have to say, all right, I got to go. My sister needs to talk.
Right, exactly.
Boom.
Or God forbid you were waiting on a call. Everybody got to get off the line.
Yeah, exactly. And call waiting. Remember that?
Click, click.
Oh, somebody's calling.
So 23% of people under the age of 35 never answer the phone.
That's correct. I fall in that.
Yeah.
I got to have your number saved.
No, facts.
Yeah.
But that's really more, honestly, that's more about all these spam calls and stuff. Like,
yeah.
You don't know if a number is genuine, even if you have somebody like, if you have like that technology or whatever that kind of screens it, even then you're still not sure.
I'm actually surprised when I call someone that somebody gave me their number or whatever and they pick up.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I can't believe I wouldn't have picked up.
Right, exactly.
Or how about.
Or they might be a bill collector also.
Yeah, or how about somebody calling you that you normally text and you on the phone, you like, dang, this sounds weird talking to you on the phone. Like we usually text. But so 2,000 people were asked to name the most acceptable reasons for calling somebody instead of texting in 2024.
Okay.
So I got a little list that they came up with. Number one, just for general chat.
No.
So just checking on somebody.
Incorrect.
Knowing you're not working and all that stuff, just to kind of see what they up.
Nobody
to.
Calls just to chat.
I have, but you have to have
sometimes
certain
you got to call and check in.
It's some people in certain circles, right? Like, I feel like your close friends, you might call and just chat.
I actually texted a buddy of mine. Actually, everybody knows him, Nick Wright. I texted him yesterday. I
said, well,
I said, dude, I haven't talked to you in a long time. And I texted him, I said, give me a time that we can call, I can call you or you can call me and we'll just chat to catch up. Cause I can caught up with him. I've texted him here and there,
sure.
But like, I want to see how the
family.
He
might be too busy for you, man.
No, he is too busy for me.
He's big money.
No, he is too busy.
You got to talk to his agent first.
But that's part of the reason. So even when I call someone, I text them first. Hey, can I call you? Or
that's good. Courtesy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So number two, to inform someone of death.
Okay.
I would think that's number one.
Yeah, you got to do that over the phone.
Yeah, especially somebody personal. Don't text me and say, my dad died.
Now, if you're doing the setup, you just like, hey, call me when you get a chance. It's important. Yeah. Right? Like, then you know. Okay.
Most of the time when I get a call, I think somebody died.
Oh, me too. Well, that's got to be real stressful.
My mom always do this. She'll call me while I'm doing the show and then text me and say, hey, call me when you get a chance. So I'm like, oh, bleep. Something wrong. Who died?
Yeah.
And she don't want nothing. I'm like, Mom.
I just wanted to hear from you.
Yeah. I ain't heard from you in a minute. I'm like, Mom, I'm busy. I'm working. Number three, to show support when somebody is going through a tough time.
Now, that one I do.
Yeah.
That one
give
I
them
do.
A call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's just nice to see a name pop up that you ain't seen in a minute.
Yeah, that one. The first two I don't do.
Number four, to wish somebody a happy birthday.
You get a text on a happy birthday.
No, I'll call.
Nah. You get a text on a happy birthday.
All right. Number five, when you're running late.
Never call. Just text. I did it with you guys day before yesterday.
So if you, like, some people drive and all that stuff. So I think sometimes it's easier to call if you're running late. Be like, hey, I'll be there in a minute. So you ain't got time to text.
Nah, just text, like, man. Just text.
Number six, to book things like a hotel or restaurant reservations and all that stuff.
That, I think that's actually...
Can't remember the last time I did.
Yeah. I do everything from just...
Dude, on my phone.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we can book those online.
Yeah.
Now, the only time I call, if it's a problem, if they took extra money out or something like that, then
I need to talk to somebody.
I need to talk to a real human being.
Yeah. I need you to hear my voice and the urgency within it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number seven, to announce, like, positive news. So, we're pregnant.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
That could still kind of go in the text.
Parents
though, right?
And siblings, but, like, I don't want anybody calling me. Like, they're just a friend. Oh, what do you do? Like, cool. I'm happy for you.
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah. Hey, just want to let you know we're pregnant.
Okay. Could have texted.
Number eight. This one, to me, I feel like it's a no. Calling in sick to work.
Nobody believes you.
I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I got to call.
You call and you're like, I really feel
bad.
Hey,
I just don't feel good. Nah, I'm shooting a text
faker.
Or email.
You faker.
Yeah, I will shoot an email, but I will also text you to make sure that you got my message that, hey, I'm sick and you're going to have to cover for me.
Well, I think that, again, with making a call, and I think this person from the 832 does point out something that's important. The big thing about giving a call to certain instances, it's the immediacy.
Yeah.
I view a text as like a low-level email, right? You'll get to it when you get to it, right? And I hate the people that are like, why haven't you texted me back yet? Because you sent a text, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get to it when I get to it. If you want that immediate, you give a call. And so in some instances, like, especially in our work, man, if we're cutting it close and I'm not going to be here, I probably need to let someone know because it's real-time sensitive. Somebody needs to get to that place.
Yeah.
Then I'll definitely give a phone call as opposed to like a text or an email.
Yeah. Number nine is when you're lost or trying to find somebody.
Oh, that one.
So
okay.
If you're downtown,
sure.
I'm calling you nonstop. It ain't no text.
Yeah.
And number 10, to share some negative health updates.
Again, probably family and close friends only.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, that's all I got, man.
Okay.
Figgy Smith's tape every day at 1:20.
It's funny. The things that you were like, this will make you feel old. Not necessarily. Phone etiquette and texting etiquette? A little bit.
No, the one that got me was the average person spend 5.5 minutes on the phone per day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, man.
I'm above average if for no other reason than my mom gets on the phone and we're on the phone for about 30 minutes to an hour.
I do feel bad. I ain't know if it was because I was getting old or just getting lame, but I'll go a couple days without nobody calling me. I look on the call log. I'm like, damn, I ain't had a call since Saturday.
That's right.
He's like, nobody called
me. That was mom's check in. Excellent.
Yep.
I'm gonna look on my Verizon app in the break. How many actual minutes?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Y'all still track minutes, huh? Oh, very good.
No, but on Verizon.
On the statement? No, I'm just like, I haven't even checked this statement to see that.
No, I don't track. I'm saying, I bet you it's. For the month, it's less than 10.
Hey, this would be the perfect time to be on a minute plan.
Yeah.
I bet it would.
Yeah, remember the unlimited?
There's someone somewhere that's on the singular wireless plan dating back to like 15 years back, if not more.
They got 120 minutes for the month.
That's Figgy's Mixtape. Catch it every 120, every day, weekday, right here in Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Drew McGarry, formerly of Deadspin, now of Defector Media. He does a Why Your Team Sucks series every year heading into the football season, and it turns its eyes to the Texans. We'll tell you why Drew McGarry believes your team sucks next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
We got one to go before we hand you over to the drive with Clint and Ron holding it down, actually, downtown, right? At the Westin.
Yeah, at the Westin downtown.
Downtown, so... Look, if you are out of work, if you have a little bit of wiggle room, go downtown, go hang out with the fellas as they are out and about meeting the folks downtown at the Westin. But right now, Drew McGarry, who is, I believe that's how his name is pronounced.
I think so, yes.
Okay, cool.
We'll go with
long time, and apologies to Drew if I'm pronouncing his name incorrectly. I've always enjoyed his work. Just, I guess I never heard his name said as opposed to seeing it written. But yeah, writer, longtime writer for Deadspin. Obviously, things that, you know, have moved and shaped with Deadspin now.
Yeah.
Defector Media. And one thing that he's done for a long time is going into the NFL season because he can be a little bit of a snarky, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd do a series entitled Why Your Team Sucks,
yes.
Right? Basically going at every single team. And, you know, giving a little bit of a satirical look at why every team why every team sucks. And some teams more satirical than others.
Mm-hmm.
But he reached in his series this year, the Texans.
Dropped last night.
And you found a few pieces of this to be interesting.
All right, I want to read it for you guys. First of all, what a concept. What a great idea for him to do this. You laugh and then...
I mean, this time of year, it's built off of hope, and there's a lot of. I mean, we've gone through various different pieces that
and
different
no matter how good
publications
you think you are.
Have written about why teams are good and everything, because generally that's the way that the fan works. And Drew was like, "No, I'm going the entire other way. Your team stinks."
Let me tell you why the Texans suck, according to him. I'm going to read a paragraph, get y'all's reaction. It's funny, but inevitably every year when I read these, and I always like to, I walk away with, "Oh, that's good," you know. And then I'm like, there might be a little truth to that. might be a little truth to that. All right, so here's the first thing he said about the Texans and why the Texans suck. You know the whole deal with the Texans leading up to now. Racist founder, stupid nickname, no AFC title game appearances, a groperific quarterback, a near erotic fixation on the idea of Josh McCown as head coach, and a front office run by Joel Osteen's stunt double until just a couple of years ago. This has never been a franchise that deserves success, and they often went out of their way to avoid it. And I read that, and I'm like,
"Hey, yo,
yeah." I mean,
he opened up. He was like, "Look, we're gonna unload the bag immediately."
Immediately, a groperific quarterback.
That's okay.
Next, he said,
"Okay,
the Texans were still there to provide two men who ended up being fired, Desmond Ridder and Arthur Smith." With 15 minutes of validation that they will cherish for the rest of their careers. Remember, Desmond Ridder brought the Texans, the Falcons back against the Texans in a very, very disappointing game.
Yeah.
The Texans also gave the disgraceful Panthers their first win of the season, lost on a doink to Jacksonville, and got beat 30-6 by Zach Wilson. Then they gave up 265 yards receiving to Amari Cooper in a loss to the Browns. You're nodding along to all of this right now. I mean, it's true.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Yeah, it's all true.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, man?
And that's why, he says, you get that familiar Thursday night feeling with this franchise. Like, that one right there, there are no lies detected.
All right, Drew.
All right, next on why the Texans suck. Diggs really is a pain in the ass.
Okay.
he wanted out of Minnesota... so that he could still play with a contender. The Vikings gave him his wish, and Diggs still bleeped and moaned. So the Texans converted him into a rental with the idea that he wouldn't be around long enough to get all surly and annoying. But believe me, he's surly and annoying. His first enemy speaks kindly and holds a knife tweet will pop up right around Columbus Day. Then one of the teammates will say, "Oh, that's just Steph. He only cares about winning," and he will promptly be DNP'd after taking a bleep in Stroud's locker.
Okay, so some very noteworthy context. I believe, if I am correct, Drew McGarry is a Vikings fan.
I don't know.
I believe that is the case. And so that will paint that quite a little bit. I also love that he drops the reference to a tweet that went platinum on Twitter, which is, you know, different positions tweet differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the tight end one was Derp. Running back was like, love my teammates and all that. And then wide receivers always tweet like, the enemy
speaks kindly and holds a knife.
Carries a knife. And so, yes, I expect nothing less from my wide receivers. And you know what? He hit the little hint of truth as you talked about.
I'm telling you, I was like, he's not wrong.
I remember I mentioned this to you when Nick Caseri was talking about it with, Pat McAfee, about them cutting off the years that they did research and that, you know, now in the building they felt good about him. But it seems like at some point there was some concern that, okay, are we going to make sure that the attitude is all correct? So it does seem like the Texans had a little bit of concern about that. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be completely honest.
All right.
A couple more here. Here's the next one on why the Texans suck.
Okay.
Mixon is quickly approaching the running back cliff, and Danielle Hunter is a constant threat to suffer a random neck injury that puts him down for the year. These Texans have the 2024 offseason championship ring to bolster their case. But you know, and I know what happens to offseason champs. The Texans still won't be able to run the ball. Their best corner is hurt more often than he isn't, and the rest of the cornerback room is dog bleep. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Tank Dell got shot.
All right, well, first of all, hey, cue up Andre Johnson real quick, because you start talking about University of Houston,
man,
Cougar.
I'm finna beat his ass.
Yeah, you start talking about University of Houston Cougar and beloved fan favorite Nathaniel Tank Dell and his fisticuffs, my man, and his fisticuffs.
Exactly. All right, and this is my favorite one, his walk-away paragraph on why the Texans will suck. These people have been hurt over and over again, and Centerpoint still hasn't restored their power. It's going to take more than one above-average season to get these people to give a bleep, and the Texans have never been ones for sustained excellence, have they? If I find out that Stroud is a part-time arms dealer 2 months from now, I won't even blink. Embarrassment remains your destiny. Houston is like if someone looked at a normal city and asked, what if we made everything a drive-through?
That's another Andre Johnson moment. We don't have to fight behind that. But you know, look,
I'm finna beat his ass.
That's right. There have been 10 years where this team has been very good. Oh, yeah. Man, calm down.
I love that every year. I just laugh and laugh.
Okay. Yeah. Look, he got his rocks off. I understand where he has to come from, and you know, he put his research in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it changes it.
His research in. I mean, some of the things are very specific, and Centerpoint still hasn't restored your power.
From the A32, chill out with the Drake quote, don't let it get old, and simultaneously, love that drop, instant classic. I don't know where to go with that.
Yeah.
And I meant that sincerely in these last two moments. Like, nah, you're not going to talk about Tank Dell in a negative way. We love that man.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we know for sure. Yeah, no, I find that to be interesting. I did not anticipate getting as defensive as I ultimately did. But yeah. All that means, season's ready to go. And I think, look, more positive than negative for me when it comes to these Texans. Even with somebody like Drew McGarry pointing out the potential negatives in that way. And look, again, old stuff. Like, I know that, you know, it sounds like I'm joking. It really sincerely feels like you're finding a little bit of a new day with this Texans organization in various different ways. So, there absolutely have been some historical things with these Texans, even recent history, where it's like, ooh, you know, that would be a cause for concern with an organization. They're doing a good job of trying to turn the page with that. And, I mean, obviously, it continues with this season, making sure that you go out and you handle yours.
Yeah, yeah. And, I think all of us are on the same page with what you just said, but it's fine. It's fine. It's not going to be universal, you know, that everybody's like all in on the Texans. It seems like a lot of the national pundits are, but it's never going to be universal.
Let me see. Another A32 said, Drayan drops is something you never heard in the same sentence. That is true. That is a great point.
You know, I don't remember us doing one like that with Dre.
We're talking to our guys, Ron and Clint, live from the Westin downtown. Do you guys ever remember having to use the words Andre Johnson and drops in the same sentence?
It's certainly a lot of fun to use. I've heard you all. Y'all have been rolling with it.
Hey, man, I'm finna beat his ass. Like
I can hear it in Lopez's. I can see. I've been riding. I can't see it. If I wasn't driving, I would be watching on YouTube and Twitch. But I couldn't see. But I could just hear. I could hear the joy in Lopez's face every time he heard it.
Sheer joy.
I can feel it.
It's like when you hear a kid cuss. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's not something you expect necessarily to hear from that particular outlet. And there you go. Andre Johnson talking about just getting active.
Mm-hmm.
Warms the spirit. Yeah. Warms the heart. What's the vibe like out there, man?
Man, we're at the Westin downtown. Hey, a beautiful spot. They just remodeled in March. I know my in-laws came and stayed here when they came to visit, and it was a great spot. And I see the inside is decked out, and they've redone it. So it's a good time out here. They got to get down here. Hey, we got great prizes. I'm talking a brand new the H-Town jersey of Will Anderson Jr. We got a signed helmet from Christian Harris, a signed football from Jalen Petrie. All Ooh. Kinds of great stuff out here. Sagamore Whiskey's going to be out here, so you can get a taste or a few tastes, like I plan on doing. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time out here. Goodbye.
Hey, fellas, I just had my man Brian gave me the GM out here just gave me the rundown of the place too, just okay. in terms of what's popping, man. And it's so close to Minute Maid Park that their pre and post game. Setup is off the charts, man. The entire lobby area, if you will, let's say you got eyeballs on TVs from everywhere you sit. So the setup is tremendous for pre and post game, and it's already jumping. I mean, just from a standpoint of nice. If you come by here, there's going to be folks here. So and they got some. They do a little live music deal once a month on Saturdays, I believe, and it's apparently a solid listen.
Look, that sounds fantastic, and I know with you fine fellas that you guys are ready for that kind of experience, because when something fantastic happens, particularly with Chaz McCormick, y'all go up.
Oh, that was fun.
Well, Chaz touched my heart, man. Listen, I don't know if y'all, read that piece that Chandler Rome did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't, like, if you ever seen Liar Liar. With
movie?
Jim Carrey,
yes.
Man, hey, it sounded like he was a desperate man at the end of his rope. I mean, Chaz is out there saying it's on me. I thank everybody for the advice, but I got to stop walking around here and stop being a bee.
No,
he's on himself hard, and then we got to get into this because he hit that home run, touched my heart. I feel good for him. I want everybody to get out there, give him a hug, and then they took his ass on the Sugar Land.
Hey, Ron, he hit that damn thing all the way to Sugar Land, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did.
Don't do that.
Damn, man.
Hey, look, he hit that bomb, man. We just got through talking about how, man, I hope this brings old Chaz out of that deal, and I'll be damned if I don't look at Twitter on the way home and I didn't see Ron say, boy, didn't take long.
We'll get into this. They could have waited till today. They could have waited till today before they announced it. They announced that thing before they even left.
It was great cinema watching you guys. We played it today.
Whoa, man.
Yeah.
That was another thing that gave us joy during the course of this broadcast. A very joyful broadcast.
Terrific.
Today. And that the joy continues as we're going to hand it over to the fine fellas live from the Westin downtown. Go hang out with them. But always just hang out on the air. YouTube, Twitch, all those different ways, but no matter which way you're doing it, you're listening to KILT, KILT HD2, and Odyssey Sports Station. And ladies and gentlemen, The Drive is live.
That's right, The Drive is live. Appreciate it, Rich. He's really picking it up with that drive.
Oh, he's
live.
Owning it, Ron. It's just a matter of time, man.
He's gonna get it.
The Drive is live.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 oh.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.